This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming weekend against the division rival Minnesota Vikings. To help us get ready for that game, we have a guest joining us on the line this morning. We have Tom Pelosero of USA Today. Tom, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I think this makes three jobs, three different appearances on Cheesehead TV, so that's good.
Very good. Now, I think it's notable to mention you're a former Vikings beat writer at 1500 ESPN. You're a former Packers beat writer at the Green Bay Press-Gazette. You now work at USA Today. How's that going, your new gig there?
It's going well, and the funny thing is, you know, I cover the entire NFL now. I've been all over the country this year, but the moment that Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone, all of a sudden it became, all right, how many NFC North games can you get to in the coming weeks? Because that really threw the power balance into question, and certainly if you look at the next 8 days here, I'll be at three games in those days, Vikings, Packers at Lambeau Field, Lions-Packers over at Ford Field, and then the Vikings and Bears that following Sunday night after Thanksgiving. That's going to go a long way with those division matchups toward deciding who comes out of this thing.
It is definitely up in the air right now. Tom, I want to start our discussion of this weekend's game with the Packers-Vikings with the quarterback position in Minnesota. Christian Ponder's going to start, says Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. But what's going on with Josh Freeman there after signing a contract worth millions of dollars? What's happening in Minnesota?
Well, there's something strange about the entire situation, but it was always going to be unusual coming in because there's just not a lot of occasions where you have somebody who not that long ago was regarded as a franchise quarterback and Josh Freeman, who has a very public feud and divorce from his previous team with the Buccaneers, goes through a lot of different things in terms of, you know, back and forth in the media, off-the-record accusations, ends up forcing his release, and signs that contract. But for the Vikings, I don't think, and I'm in minority here, but based on everybody I've talked to about this, I don't think that the Vikings were looking at the Josh Freeman signing and say, we're going to get this guy ready in 2 weeks, and he's going to come out, and he's going to turn around our season. I don't think realistically anybody could have bought into that or believed that. But what happened was, the dynamic changed as soon as coaches made a mistake, whether they admit it or not, made a mistake and put Josh Freeman out there against the New York Giants on the road, on national TV, in prime time, 2 weeks after he'd been there. I mean, he had like five practices in the offense, only three of them with the first string. That's just not enough time to necessarily get, you know, totally comfortable in the scheme. No matter what they say about, well, he understood it, he has some familiarity, going back and working under Prince at Kansas State and how there were some carryover between those two offenses. Here's the problem. It's one thing to know the scheme. It's another to be able to dissect what the defense is doing within that scheme at the speed of the game. It's an entirely everything. It's like one personnel guy said to me, it's as if you know you're playing Madden on PlayStation, but you're used to playing Xbox. You can see the circle receiver coming across, but if you don't know where that button is, you're hitting it a second late, and that throws off the timing of the entire thing, without to say nothing of the fact that Josh Freeman had fundamental mechanical error or mechanical issues when he came to Minnesota. They had to straighten those out too. All those things fit together here. I think ultimately what the Vikings wanted was to find out what kind of guy he is, because he's not been painted in a positive light, and then also see if mechanically he is fixable, and that takes some time. If he had never played against the Giants, I think the entire way this is viewed is a little bit different.
I like how it was dumbed down to my level, going from Xbox to PlayStation. I mean, that's the only way I can relate, I guess. But, Tom, Sunday marks Greg Jennings' return to Lambeau Field. And while Greg Jennings probably isn't going to get as much attention as the game in the first meeting between the two teams this season, I want to get your reaction to the whole hullabaloo this offseason. I know one of the beat guys in Minnesota really thought the media blew it out of proportion, but I wanted to get your take.
Well, that guy tends to think that everything's blown out of proportion. But, yeah, I mean, there's Greg said some things he shouldn't have said, and he's admitted as much. I mean, he probably took it too far. I do think that people read into it a little too much because in the end, like, what do you want him to say? Okay, when he says that, you know, Christian Ponder's my quarterback, what do you want him to say? Yes, Aaron Rodgers is much better than Christian Ponder. We all know that. We don't need Greg Jennings to tell us that, but you're on a new team. You're on a division rival. Of course, you're going to back up your guy. I think that that's where that gets spiraled a little bit beyond. But when it comes to not saying the guy's name and all that, you just got the feeling that it wasn't coming from a fun-loving place with Greg Jennings. And honestly, I think that part of what you're seeing with Greg Jennings right now and watching him on the sideline during some of these games, watching what's happened as the season has fallen apart, I think for lack of a better term, he's just sort of learning what he missed or learning what he had in Green Bay. I mean, when you have two quarterbacks over a 16-year or 20-year span, whatever it was, you know, with Brett Favre and Greg Jennings, everybody in the organization is spoiled by that. And I think that the Packers now are finding that out a little bit as they've had to play Seneca Wallace and now Scott Tolzien. It's hard. It's a difficult thing when you've got a really good quarterback and you're used to having that. And Aaron Rodgers, in my mind, is one of the four elite quarterbacks in the NFL, along with Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. I think that everybody else has other good quarterbacks. There's some ascending young quarterbacks. But Rodgers is in that absolutely elite capacity where he elevates the level of the people around him every single step. Even if you believe that Christian Ponder was going to become a top 10 quarterback, which I think would have been asking a lot of him, I think that he could have been an okay quarterback and functioning within an offense that has Adrian Peterson in it. But even if you manage to put yourself down the rabbit hole and believe Christian Ponder is a top 10 quarterback, you're still not Aaron Rodgers because Rodgers is just on a completely different level. And now you have the Achilles thing flaring up with Greg Jennings, which from what I was told came up on game day that he had a little bit of tendonitis and caught coaches off guard that he wasn't going to play in that game. There's just a lot of different things going on, and you've sunk $18.5 million guaranteed into Greg Jennings. You got him for four more years.
I've heard speculation about what has happened between Aaron Rodgers or Greg Jennings, have you heard anything? What is the impetus of all this?
I mean, there's things, I think, little things that go back to, you know, the days in Green Bay. And I think that at times, maybe things that Rodgers said about how they don't miss a beat without Greg Jennings, how they've got other guys who can fit in, may have rubbed Greg the wrong way, but, I mean, is he wrong? Again, we all get into this mode where it's like, we don't want people to say things that are true. Well, yes, Aaron Rodgers is that good, and the Packers are that deep at receiver, but you don't necessarily need to have one guy. You know, you don't have to have the guy. And frankly, by the end of Greg Jennings' time there, he wasn't the best receiver on the team. Jordy Nelson was the best receiver on the team. Jennings was a valuable slot presence, but they also had JerMichael Finley. I mean, this is not, you know, Randall Cobb. This is not a Packers roster that was devoid of players. And part of what Greg liked about coming to Minnesota, and he said this, was the opportunity to be the guy. Well, the side part of that is the opportunity to get paid like the guy. And the Packers were not going to pay him, but the Vikings ended up paying him. And so he takes the money. He may have felt slighted. He may have felt that he had more to do with Aaron Rodgers' success than Rodgers wanted to admit, and that's where he said all the stuff about, well, what's the difference between, you know, Brett Favre? It's the people or the receivers around him. What's the deal with Aaron Rodgers, the receivers around him? That stuff, that's where I think you probably get into, you know, maybe Greg Jennings' mindset a little bit. He thought that he had more to do with Aaron Rodgers' success than vice versa, when in fact, I think what we're seeing is Aaron Rodgers, even when he doesn't have Jennings, he doesn't have Finley, he doesn't have Cobb, he destroyed the Vikings at the Metrodome a few weeks ago. That's just how good Aaron is.
We're talking to Tom Pelissero of USA Today here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Tom, give me an update on the health of running back Adrian Peterson. And while you're at it, I saw you tweet yesterday that in an interview with Peterson, he says he still thinks the Vikings could make the playoffs at 8-8 if they were to go undefeated the rest of the year. Was pot legalized in Minnesota, Tom?
Adrian will tell you, and I've said this to his face before, I could say anything. Like, Adrian, did you swim around the world? And he'd go, oh, yeah, that's just my mindset. That's just what he said. I mean, anything you say, that's where the whole, you know, can you run for 2,500 yards thing came from, which was people saying, oh, hey, do you think you run for 2,500? Yeah. And as I told Adrian back in training camp, I'm like, if I said, can you run for 4,000? You'd probably say, yeah. And he's like, Well, yeah, but I really do believe in the 2500 thing. That's just, that's how Adrian is. He has this sort of mindset that served him very well. I mean, I'm not criticizing him for it. He'll always believe, and he'll find ways to sort of warp his mind to believe that you have a chance, that you can do anything. And frankly, if there were more guys in the Vikings locker room who believed that, maybe they wouldn't have descended to the degree they have. So Peterson's going to go out there with a sore groin. That really did slow him down last week at Seattle. I mean, he's admitted that he didn't have that same burst. He just didn't look comfortable. And now he's coming out. I saw the forecast is low 20s at Lambeau Field. You're talking about going in with a sore groin that you're trying to keep stretched out. That's not exactly ideal. So we'll just have to see if he could put mind over matter as he's done many other times.
Speaking of playoff possibilities, what do you think of Green Bay's chances now that they're dealing with, you know, Aaron Rodgers being injured here in Green Bay?
As long as they beat the Vikings on Sunday, which I think they will, they're fine. I mean, if you lose to the Vikings, and then if Aaron maybe isn't back 4 days later, like getting against Detroit, now you're sitting there at 5-7 on a five-game skid, and it's going to be a tough road to hoe to come all the way back within the division. But if you take care of business against the Vikings team that's really struggled this season, that has a lot of different issues. You know, we talk a lot about the offense, but the Vikings defense is not what it was. I mean, that first meeting at the Metrodome, where Eddie Lacy just gashed him over and over between the tackles. They're weak in the triangle in terms of their defensive tackles and their middle linebacker. Maybe their best defensive player, Harrison Smith, is on injured reserve with a turf toe issue. They've been decimated at the cornerback position. And Scott Tolzien, who I saw, you know, make his debut against the Eagles a couple of weeks back, if there's one thing he does well, it's throw the football down the field. And I've actually been impressed, turnovers aside, with what he's been able to do. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see the Packers rack up some yardage. Tolzien's got to cut down on the turnovers, but this is not a Vikings defense that's forced a whole lot of turnovers this season. If the Packers are able to take care of business at home, not lose a third straight game at Lambeau for the first time in I don't know how long, I think that they're going to be okay, because then, worst case, you sit Rodgers for one more week, you get him healthy after Thanksgiving, you're 6-6, and you've got a chance, anytime you've got Aaron on your side, to make a run, win four straight games, or even finish 3-1 in a conference where 9-7 has a decent chance to maybe put you in the playoffs.
Before we let you go, Tom, I know you've kind of been at the forefront of this injury to Packers tight end Jermichael Finley. We know that he's done for the season. We know that he's undergone spinal fusion surgery. So I guess the only thing left is to speculate on his future. I know the word from Finley and his agent is that Finley wants to return, but is that a realistic possibility?
Well, without knowing, you know, the medical details beyond what's been out there and what I've heard from various people around Jermichael, you'd think that if he wants to play, that he certainly will have a chance and the teams will look at him. But what you're going to come down to is, are teams going to be willing to make any sort of investment in a player coming off of that sort of an injury? It makes it worth Jermichael's while. I mean, I don't know how Jermichael spends his money, but you'd hope that he saves some, because he's made a fair amount, especially over the past couple of years here. If teams are out there offering him a one-year, you know, $2 million contract with an injury waiver on it, where if he gets hurt again, they owe him nothing, is that worth it for Jermichael Finley to put himself on the field? And that's what I don't know. I don't know his medical situation entirely. I don't know his financial situation. I do know that NFL teams, particularly with that injury, I mean, look back at Nick Collins. I don't know if it's exactly the same. Nick Collins was a really, really productive player. I mean, he was a Pro Bowl caliber player for the Packers at the safety position, had gotten paid again. He had a series of neck injuries, which, you know, Jermichael's had a couple of different areas of trauma to his head and his neck over the past year here. And Collins never got another shot and eventually came to the realization that he was going to walk away from the game, even though he said, too, initially that he thought that he'd be able to play again. Jermichael's it's an interesting case. He's still a young guy. He's so talented. It's always been a matter of, can he put it together? I do think that he wants to play, because I don't think that Jermichael really, you know, no offense to Jermichael, I don't think he really has a backup plan. I think that he's a football player, and that's what he's done for his entire life. I just don't know to what degree someone's going to be willing to invest in him where he deems that, yes, this is something that I should be doing with everything that's at risk.
I guess, you know, throwing a little monkey wrench into this whole ordeal here, the word is he has a $10 million disability insurance policy. Don't you think that is, like, he could make more money with that than in potential future earnings? I mean, that goes away once he plays football again.
And maybe he has to declare his intentions to play again and then be told you can't play again in order for that for him to collect. And I
Fair
do
enough.
Know the threshold on those policies tends to be pretty high.
Okay.
And so maybe there's various mechanics happening behind the scenes on that. But, yeah, that's another good point, which is, I mean, is he going to get $10 million on his next contract? No way. I mean, there's absolutely no way that somebody after this injury is going to make an investment in him. If anything, it's a low-risk deal with an injury waiver that's got a lot of incentives on it. I think that's about the only type of thing Michael Finley could expect at this point, and he well may get that offer. It's a matter of whether or not he takes it.
Tom, just give me a prediction for Sunday's game. You got a score. What's going to happen?
I think that the Packers, like I said, are going to put up a fair amount of yards, fair amount of points. I think that it's going to be a more competitive game. Even though you look at the score of the first game between these teams, the game I watched was not 44-31 or whatever it ended up being. I mean, the Packers completely dominated that game and called off the dogs with like 8 minutes to go. Vikings got a couple of garbage touchdowns in that game. I think the Packers end up winning by a touchdown. I think that there are some points put on the board, 31-24, something like that. And I think the Packers take care of business and hopefully for them get their season turned around.
Tom, we appreciate the time you've given of us this morning. Best of luck to you at USA Today and all you do. Rack up those frequent flyer miles. You're going to 3 games in 8 days, so enjoy that.
Hey, I finally got status. I'm in zone 1, baby. It's huge. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me on, man.
See ya. Tom Pelissero of USA Today joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks for you, the listener, for joining us well. As we kind of continue our preview of the Packers-Vikings game here at Cheesehead TV. Tom covered it all. I mean, what's more to cover? Well, he kind of gave us more of the Vikings perspective, I think, with talk about Christian Ponder and Greg Jennings and Adrian Peterson. So I'll try for the rest of the show here to give the Packers perspective. Not that Tom didn't, but, what's got me, my focus today is looking at this Vikings defense and specifically their pass defense. Last I looked, I looked it up just before the show. The Vikings pass defense, I believe, is ranked 30th in the NFL. There's only 32 teams, so they're right near the bottom. And then I saw the Vikings third down defense. It is dead last, 32nd in the NFL in third down defense. Now, I think if there's ever a game that the Packers can see success, and specifically I'm talking about Scott Tolzien, if the Packers are going into this game with Scott Tolzien, and that's the indication, I think the chances of Aaron Rodgers playing this week are about less than 1%. If there's ever a game Scott Tolzien can put it all together, it's against this defense of the Minnesota Vikings, which is not really all that good. I think Tolzien can see success. I know I've harped on this quite a bit. I get on social media and Twitter. I get these outrageous suggestions sometimes about how the Packers need to sit Tolzien because, you know, they see the 5 interceptions, and I realize it doesn't look good. And, you know, several of them are on Tolzien's shoulders, no doubt about it. That interception against the Eagles in the end zone that was returned for 76 yards on Tolzien's shoulders. The pick, the last interception against the Giants, his third one when he was, you know, he was under pressure, but he still hurried the throw and made a poor decision there. That's on his shoulders. But some of these, you know, that, of course, we talked about the interception about Jason Pierre-Paul. I blame Mike McCarthy for that one, for the predictable play call that the Giants and JPP saw coming. And you saw, we talked about this with Nathan Jahnke on Wednesday, how good Scott Tolzien is at throwing the ball down the field, deep, you know, passes of 20-plus yards, 4 for 4 last week. He's looking really good. Now, if there's ever a defense and that he can have even more success against, it's the Minnesota Vikings. Scott Tolzien is going to hit a couple deep balls against the Vikings, assuming weather isn't a factor, such as rain or snow or high winds, things like that. But I mean, if it's a fairly still day and a fairly dry day, even if it's cold, the Packers should still be able to do some damage through the air. I mean, it's what, going to be in the 20 degrees? That's I mean, we've seen games that have been around zero or below zero. This will seem warm compared to them, maybe, when you're talking about games in January and February. So there's your silver lining. I know that probably doesn't give you a whole lot of hope if you're one of those sitting out there in the stands freezing your butt off at Lambeau Field. But, you know, it's not going to be ice bowl cold, at least on Sunday. So I think the Packers can see success against this Vikings defense, and that's what gives me hope this week against the Vikings. Today's Friday, kind of hoping today. Today's the last day of on-field preparations for the Minnesota Vikings this week, last day of practice. And I think people are kind of actually holding on to hope that Aaron Rodgers can return to practice today, because he kind of hinted on his weekly radio show that he said something to the effect that, you know, if he's going to play in a game, he's got to be out at practice at least 2 days before the game. Well, today is 2 days before a game. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers says he's throwing the football without pain, but that's not really the issue that's hindering him or keeping him from the field. It's more a fact that if he gets hit again and the bone gets displaced, I mean, right now it's just a little crack or fracture that's healing. It's probably close to healed by now, but he doesn't want that bone to, you know, come totally apart, which could happen if he comes back too early and the bone's not healed yet. That's the, you know, the drawback. That's what's causing the hesitation to get Aaron Rodgers back. But, you know, it's been close to 3 weeks here since the original injury. So, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe he practices even, even if he doesn't play in the game, that there is a chance maybe he practices today with the Packers. Although I wouldn't hold out much hope, actually. It would surprise me if he did, but who knows? Like I said, I think people are kind of holding on to hope that's what happens, that's the case today. Just, you know, don't let it ruin your day if Aaron Rodgers doesn't practice today and doesn't play on Sunday. I think maybe there is a better chance of it happening on Thanksgiving against the Lions. Even that might be a long shot, but I think there's a better chance of that happening than Aaron Rodgers playing against the Vikings. Mike McCarthy's already said Scott Tolzien's the starter. So, I mean, I think they just want to just try to get through this game without Aaron Rodgers, get a win, and stay alive in the playoff chase. Stay alive for what they hope are, they can go on a roll once Aaron Rodgers comes back. And my prediction for the game is the Packers win. The Packers win 24-21. Even with a bad Vikings defense, I don't have total confidence in Scott Tolzien that they're going to put up, you know, 30, 40 points. I don't think that can happen. I just think the way the defense is playing, you know, which has been rather poor lately, I think it's a close game. But I do think, you know, home field advantage, Lambeau Field, with so much on the line, so much at stake, I do think the Packers come away with the victory, 24-21. Packers, well, you know, we'll find out, but that's the official prediction here from Brian Caribou. You know, the Packers, like I said, today's Friday, not just holding out hope for Aaron Rodgers, a lot of other injuries out there. Micah Hyde, you know, that was kind of the news of the day yesterday. Micah Hyde added to the injury list. He didn't practice yesterday, but he says he's going to practice today, kind of waiting to see if that happens, because without Micah Hyde, that's kind of the other thing. Packers totally thin at the cornerback position right now, unusually thin, because four cornerbacks, in addition to Micah Hyde, four total didn't practice yesterday, including Sam Shields, Casey Hayward, and then rookie or first-year player James Nixon. That's four guys at one position that didn't practice. Although you're kind of thinking that based upon the indications we're getting, Micah Hyde's isn't really a big deal. But I mean, that leaves the Packers with just you know, three healthy cornerbacks on the roster right now. Tremont Williams, Devon House, and Jarrett Bush. And so that's the concern. You know, that's mighty low for a team that uses three, sometimes four cornerbacks on the field, albeit Jerron McMillan is kind of a dime cornerback when he enters the game. So he can play that position, although Jerron McMillan, I don't know how much we want him on the field right now. I see on the live blog here, John on the live blog says, my concern with Hyde is in the return game. True, that's true too. You know, Micah Hyde he's been the punt returner for a long time. All of a sudden he's taken over kick return duties as well. I don't know where the Packers turn to if he weren't able to go. Not that the kick return, anybody's going to help the kick return right now. That's Packers, and that unit is so bad. And the kickoff coverage is not good either. Packers not good covering kickoffs or returning kickoffs this year. It's terrible. You know, there's options. They can always go back to Jonathan Franklin on kickoff returns, and maybe he's learned something from early in the year, making rookie mistakes, fumbling, and kind of some hesitation on kickoff returns. And they got guys on the team who have returned punts before, like Jordy Nelson. I mean, we're talking several years ago that Jordy Nelson was returning punts. Tremont Williams, he did it the 2010 season. I mean, if they just need guys to catch the ball, they got guys who can do it. Although, you know, you don't want starters out there on special teams if you have to. But Packers could be in a situation where they have to. You know, it could be that kind of day. But anyway, so that's where we're at right now on a Friday, 2 days before the game. I'm predicting the Packers win, and hopefully that is the case. But it's 9 o'clock here on a Friday. We're bugging out. Have a good weekend, everyone. I don't know if there's going to be an episode of Railbird Central this Monday. Things are kind of complicated for me with the holidays coming up, and I'll be actually hunting in northern Wisconsin as it's the opening of hunting season here. So I wish all the hunters that listen to the show best of luck, and please stay safe more than anything. But anyway, I don't know the status for Monday, whether we'll have a show, but we will definitely on Wednesday next week, no doubt about it. So we'll see you then, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.